As I mentioned, the fact that some students think that they have reached the absolute state, even though they haven't, I would like to speak a bit about the subject, the art, what we often refer to as the art of verification of your experience. You need to interpret your experience in a correct way. Your experience is subjective, but you need to verify it objectively. If you are just subjectively, so to speak, interpreting your experiences, you can invent all kind of interpretations that are not linked to reality at all. It's like those people who say that they're already awakened. Well, they have just such a thought, but thought is not reality. They don't know what awakening really means, what is hidden, the reality behind this concept. Someone can even experience something out of ordinary, or even a state which has some substance, such as giving one a place to exist beyond the mind, and one calls it, assumes that one is self-realized. But the reality is that one simply does not know what one is experiencing. One does not have the bigger picture. One does not have the evolutionary context. All our experiences are subjective, but there has to be a level of objectivity in interpreting them. Objectivity simply means here that there is a wider reality, wider context, that there is an evolutionary blueprint. It's like how God designed, planned our evolution and the vision created in the mind of God, what it means for the soul to become whole. So that is objectivity. Here, like in our teaching, we are trying to actually formulate the objective picture based on deciphering that blueprint of human evolution into becoming a complete soul, trying to find that formula that detailed and multi-dimensional picture of the true nature of spiritual reality. Being able to verify your experience correctly, and you do it here, having the support of the teaching, the map of awakening, the precise description of different states, and how they all intertwine and so forth. But still within yourself, you need to verify your experience. So there is inevitably a level of interpretation of what it is that is being described in the teaching, and comparing that interpretation with your own experience, subjective experience, to see whether they are reflecting the same thing, whether they meet. So if we speak about pure me of consciousness, you need, and you experience something of that appears to be pure me of consciousness, you need to be certain that it is indeed pure me of consciousness. When you realize horizontal samadhi, you need to verify that you are in a state of absence, that you are absorbed in the universal I am. And we are going through into different details, trying to describe that realization in what we call high resolution, so that you have all the tools to truly be able to verify what it is that you experience, or the imperfection of your experience, what is lacking in your experience. And that the ability to verify your state is part, indivisible part, of knowing yourself. It's part of self-knowledge. Without perfecting the faculty of verification, you will be like somewhat dysfunctional on the path. And if you are not able to, your verification is on a very low level, it's like you are crippled on the path. You cannot really proceed. So evolution into an actual experience of one center or another center and the evolution of verification, they go hand at hand. Am I embodying pure me of consciousness? Or am I just feeling pure me of consciousness? Am I truly one with the person? Is my person transparent? Am I experiencing fundamental me? Or am I experiencing just a certain energy state in that location where fundamental me should exist? Have I really realized its pure subjectivity? Is my fundamental me in the state of vertical absence? Am I able to distinguish state of deep restfulness from the condition of absence, from true samadhi? There are also certain psychological elements that enter the picture, such as some students are just too confident, too easy, too quickly going into different conclusions regarding their experience, meaning that they are not doubting enough. There is a very important role of doubt on the path. This doubt allows you to question your experience. And without that questioning, your intelligence simply, your spiritual intelligence simply cannot evolve. Only a fool is not doubting. Sometimes behind that tendency to assume too quickly that one has attained something without questioning it enough comes from ego, certain psychological need to attain. It's like it's certain clinging to the idea of attainment, which increases, allows one to experience certain self-worthiness, but to simply push away certain, to disregard. That absence of self-worthiness, certain inferiority complex, and so forth. So one is seeing the spiritual path as a some kind of extension of ego, trying to attain all the states, so one is feeling good inside oneself psychologically, without attaining a true well-being, the well-being that requires truly reaching all these states. And then we have other category of students who are doubting too much, questioning too much their experience, not having enough confidence, not having enough trust in their experience. So here we can see how the person and how the personality can affect one's judgment. how that personality, the tendencies in personality can intermingle with our interpretation or our interpretive tendencies on the spiritual path. You have to doubt your experience to an extent, not because you have inferiority complex or because you are not trusting yourself, but because that is wisdom. You are entering completely new reality. You are entering the unknown. You are awakening states of existence within yourself that never ex were never present before. So you need to develop that sense of orientation in pure subjectivity. And that sense of orientation, which is indivisible from the art of verification, it needs time to evolve. But there is a point where that questioning of your experience just goes too far. Well, it has to be dropped and replaced with absolute confidence into who you are and what you experience. Some states of attainment are easier to verify than others. Also, it is an individual matters because some of you tend to be more naturally familiar with certain dimensions of your soul. While unfamiliar with others. The grace of this teaching is that we are describing the inner reality with extraordinary precision. And these are not just concepts. It's not like to say, Atman is the same as Brahman. These are ideas. One does not know what Atman really is. One does not know who Brahman really is. This is all just a philosophy. Everything is emptiness and so forth. Or there is no self. All these concepts can be interpreted in countless ways. But here the description is actually revealing. There is a certain philosophical context, obviously, but the majority of the teaching describes, reveals the experience itself. Both through certain conceptual mastery and the presence of the teacher, but that conceptual mastery is impregnated with the meaning of that to which these concepts are pointing. When I speak about the second level of pure attention, the one that extends itself from pure me of consciousness in order to enter the state of horizontal absence, you feel, they're not just ideas, you feel that pure attention extending itself from your pure me. And you are learning simultaneously how to activate that pure attention. And the same goes with all the other aspects of the teaching, the different descriptions of different states and how to embody different centers, how to awaken them, how to surrender, the difference in surrender through the as far as different centers are concerned. It is a living teaching where the concepts are alive and they are ideally, because there has to be a meeting between teacher and student, meeting on the level of the soul, on the spiritual level. Ideally, these concepts, they are being recognized within you as what they point to as an actual experience. So you're actually experiencing what is behind these concepts. But you cannot experience everything. There's an evolution here. Certain concepts or certain aspects of your teaching are sort of too much ahead of where you are at the moment. Even though you may intuitively already feel their meaning. But to truly absorb that knowledge experientially, you need to wait, and that is also wisdom. Knowing that one cannot know yet, or that one cannot experience yet certain things. Since I spoke about we will be speaking now more about the absolute state. It's really highly challenging to verify that attainment. And it is a very high attainment. I don't know how many people on this planet who walk on this planet are in the absolute state, except those who are my students. Just very few, maybe someone hidden in the mountains in China. He's living in some hermitage. This is a very rare realization period, and something very difficult to attain. The reason that for you it is easier to attain it is because you have guidance and you have the energetic support. There's the element of transmission of the absolute, which is it's making the 90% of your work, is doing the 90% of your work. And that 10% is what remains. But even that 10% is difficult. To really identify, verify that one is in a state of absence, samadhi in the absolute, that one has entered the other side, that void of the ground of existence. You have to attain the mastery in your verification skill. Even me, after moving into the absolute, I have doubted for a long time whether indeed what I experience is the absolute, or whether the experience is perfect, until the point that it became unquestionable, doubtless. So if someone is not doubting, is overly self-confident, it's not a good thing. Something is off. And there's a certain element of underappreciation of that attainment. And there's also the matter, which I will discuss, that there are levels of realization of the absolute, how deeply you penetrate the dimension of his dimension. An indivisible part of that, mastering the art of verification, is developing spiritual sensitivity to very subtle dimensions of your inner existence. Some people are just, and I speak about seekers, some of my students are just not subtle enough, not refined enough in their recognition, or simply completely insensitive. It's like a blind man cannot see a rainbow, so they cannot see the presence or the absence of the absolute. It's simply beyond the horizon of their recognition. They cannot imagine it, which is another thing. You need to develop spiritual imagination to, not like imagination that you are imagining stuff, but to conceive of that new reality into which you are entering. And to feel in your very being its meaning. Even if you are blind on one level. If your heart is in the right place. If you really want to know and understand yourself and truly find the absolute certainty about what it is that you experience or that what it is that you are meant to experience even before you experience it fully. You will stop being blind. The blind man can see again. Rather than rushing to attain different states, it is wiser to strive to master the art of verification. Even if you awaken one center, such as pure consciousness, and there's an absolute certainty and a knowingness as far as regarding what you experience, it is much better than experiencing all other things and being confused or misinterpreting your experiences. The ability to verify correctly your realization is indivisible part of knowing yourself. Know thyself through an objective verification of your subjective reality. There's a point where the subjective and objective meet. In our teaching, we speak about the multiple centers of the soul, which is unheard in human spirituality. Have they been just invented by me? Are they just products of my subjective imagination? Or are they just exclusive to my soul, that my soul can experience them and she alone can experience all these states? No. Because they can be shared and you all can experience them. Therefore, they are objective. They are universal. The teaching is simply, its purpose is to reflect in high resolution the blueprint of the evolution of the human soul and what it is that the Creator planned, envisioned in that evolution. So we are on some level, as this teaching evolves and expands and goes into more details, we are deciphering that vision, that plan of the Creator for His individual manifestation, which is you and me. We are solving the puzzle of that very purpose of our creation. And therefore, creating the true bridge with our ultimate future, which is the complete now, of the absolute now of the soul.